Today's Old Testament lesson comes to us from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteous Savior. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Well, we are in our first week of Advent, and our sermon series for this Advent is titled, I'll Be Hope for Christmas. And this week we are looking at the promise of hope. Our scriptures for this season are coming from the lectionary, which is just a common set of readings used by millions of people and thousands of churches around the globe. And I once again want to remind you and encourage you that we have the opportunity to read some of those texts before each Sunday. Last week I mentioned that we had the dates and the sermon titles and all of the lectionary texts together. That reading plan is in your insert again if you missed it last week or want to get another copy of it. We encourage you, don't feel pressure to read everything on the list because there's a lot of it, but try to get at least one of them in each week to prepare your heart for the coming of the King. I've also been asked by several people if we have a printed out version of the sermon, and so you'll find them next to the joys and concerns up on this level this week, so we have those available. Wanted to call your attention to that. Our text today, though, is a succession of three sayings from Jesus that all kind of point in the same direction from Luke chapter 21. There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress among the nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. So be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, several years ago, I read the book Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. It's a fantastic book. And one of his main points is that it takes 10,000 hours of practice to truly master something. And in that chapter, he shares a Chinese proverb that goes, "No one who can rise before dawn 360 days a year will fail to make his family rich." It's a good proverb. In other words, if you work early and often, you will become rich. All it takes to gain wealth, according to this proverb, is hard work all day, every day. Great proverb. There's only one problem that I see with this proverb, and that is it is completely untrue. There are millions of Chinese rice farmers who have followed this advice, and they're not rich. I know plenty of people who rise before dawn so they can get to work. Many of them are laborers, and they're not rich. This proverb promises, but it can't deliver. When have you heard a promise, or perhaps even made a promise, but there was no way to deliver on it? As you know, I play basketball with a group of guys every week, and when there are more than 10 people, we roll dice to determine who's going to play. So it's totally by chance. It's not, you know, like a captain picking their favorite people. It's not making a three-pointer. It's not merit-based. Totally random who gets to play if there's more than 10 people. And one week, a few weeks ago, I was rolling the dice, and I kept rolling my own number over and over and over again. So I got to play the whole time. That also means I was losing every game, but I still got to play every time because I was rolling well. Another guy came up to me and said, "Man, I want to play too. Can you roll my number? Can you roll a four?" So I rolled it, and sure enough, got the four for him. And then I was done rolling, so I just tossed the dice over to the sideline, and it rolled and bounced up and into the bag exactly in the right pocket where the dice were supposed to be kept. So one of the other guys came up to me and said, "Man, you got to go play the lottery today. You're on fire. And just give me one thing. Give me 10% of the winnings and we'll call it good." So I told him, "Deal. You know, I can spare 10%. But he shook his head, he laughed, and he said, "Yeah, right. If you win, you're going to leave the state just to avoid me." He had no expectation that I was going to deliver on that promise of 10% of the winnings. I didn't try, though. I didn't buy tickets, so we'll never know if that was the day. When have you heard a promise, or maybe even made a promise, but there was no way to deliver on it? One of the problems that I think we have trusting God is that we have a plethora of evidence suggesting that promises aren't worth much. We've heard promises from the silly, "I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today," to the scandalous, "I am not a crook," the financially ruinous, "Trust me, I'm Bernie Madoff." We've all experienced false promises in our lives, sometimes on the personal scale, sometimes we see it on the global scale. It seems that promises should maybe be defined as something you say to gain an advantage for yourself. So given humanity's collective disregard for promises, it is perhaps not surprising that we treat God's promises as if they are similarly flexible. If the people we see every day are willing to deceive us, how can we trust someone we can't even see? After all, Jesus promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. So why then do we ask God, "Where are you," when times are tough? Or what about, "I know the plans I have for you, plans for your good and not for disaster"? Why then do we sometimes wonder if God is punishing us or persecuting us when things are going wrong? Jesus says to come to him when we're weary and he will give us rest. So why then do we keep trying to find rest by working harder? We may know with our heads that God's promises are sure, but do we act like it when the rubber meets the road? And I'm using "we" here, not for effect, but because I'm right there too. But what are we to do about it? Well, in the book To Catch an Angel by Robert Russell, it's the biography of a young blind man who lives alone on an island on a river, middle of a river, and almost every single day he actually goes out and rows on the river. But to help him do this, he came up with a simple system. He had a timer and a bell and rigged it so that the bell would ring every 30 seconds. And that allowed him to know where he was on the river and to eventually find his way back to his island. In his own words, he said, "The river lies before me, a constant invitation, a constant challenge. And my bell is the thread of sound along which I return to a quiet base." I think we all need a thread of sound that allows us to return to our quiet base no matter how much the waters rage around us. And so the first thread of sound that we have to help us act like we trust God's promises, not just say we trust God's promises, the first thread is remembering. Remembering what God has said and done in the past. In our first reading today, Jeremiah chapter 33, it's a promise to Israel in their darkest moment, a promise to do something amazing from the line of David, a promise that was fulfilled very unexpectedly in the person of Jesus. Or to return to those three promises in Scripture I mentioned before, when has Jesus been with you even though you didn't feel it? When has Jesus granted you rest that defies explanation? When has God's plan for your good suddenly revealed itself, even though things seem to be heading down the tubes? Remember how God has fulfilled his promises in the past. The second thread of sound that we can use to help us act like we trust God, not just say we trust God, the second thread is anticipating. Anticipating what God has promised but not yet fulfilled. 2,000 years ago, Jesus fulfilled a bucketful of God's promises, but he left a few for another day. A day that hasn't happened yet. A day that, from our text, says, a day when they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. A day when we should stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. So if you look around and you wonder why there's so much violence, why there's so much hate, so much injustice, why there's so much pain, then that thread of sound is to anticipate the day when those finally get resolved by God. Because God didn't finish everything 2,000 years ago. Some things are still in the works. We know where it's headed, but they're not done yet. What do you long for God to accomplish? Anticipate what God is still going to do in the future. The third thread of sound we have to help us act like we trust God, not just say we trust God, is recognizing. Recognize what God is doing today. Not just in the past, not just in the future, but today. Jesus uses the parable of the fig tree in our text today. He says, as soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. When you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Now, what's fascinating about this image, though, is that trees don't just sprout leaves once. They do it every season or every year as the seasons come and go. So, yes, God has done some amazing things in the past. And, yes, God will do some amazing things in the future. But, yes, God is doing amazing things today as well, as frequently as the trees sprouting leaves. Where do you see or maybe just trust that God is at work right now in your life? Recognize what God is doing today. The final thread of sound we have to help us act like we trust God, not just say we trust God, is participating. Participating in God's promises with our very lives. The last section in our text today says, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with the worries of this life. Be alert at all times. Pray that you may have the strength to stand before the Son of Man. D.L. Moody wrote about that last phrase, the one who kneels most stands best. In other words, when we remember that first thread, when we remember what God has done in the past, we are called to reflect our hope from the past in our living today. When we anticipate that second thread, anticipate what God has promised but not yet fulfilled, we are called to reflect our hope for the future in our lives today. And when we recognize the third thread, recognize what God is doing today, right now, we are called to reflect our hope for today in our lives as well. As we enter into this season of Advent, we are encouraged to trust God's promise of hope, to kneel so that we may stand. But we, like the blind man on the river, need a thread of sound so that when the waters are raging around us, it can help us act like we trust God, not just say we trust God. We can hear the dinging of the bell as we remember what God has done. We can hear the dinging of the bell as we anticipate what God will do. We can hear the dinging of the bell as we recognize what God is up to right now. And we can hear the dinging of the bell as we participate in God's promise of hope with our very lives today. Advent is the season of hope. And God has certainly promised hope to us. Where do you need to hear that dinging bell to help call you back to the island of peace this season? How can you live like you trust God, not just say we trust God? Luckily for us, and I do mean us, whether we are living it out or not, the promise of hope is there. So thanks be to God. Amen.